I remember the first time I heard that song. I was living with my girlfriend, Denise Westwood. That's right. Some of you may have heard of her. Hello. Some of you may have heard of her. Denise is a great, longtime Los Angeles disc jockey, and she and I, well, we had a thing for a while. And anyway, we lived together over in Pasadena, and we had a great, beautiful home on a hillside. And I have to say, and I say this with great, Denise is now married, and happily so, and I'm very happy to know that she is. But when we were together, she was happier. I'm kidding. I'm just fucking around. Of course she wasn't. anyway, but I will say, it's a nice thing I'm going to say for Denise. There's a lot of nice things to say about her, too. But one of them is that she kept a beautiful home, and we had a gorgeous home right there on a hillside overlooking downtown, right up in the hills past just on the other side of South Pasadena. And any whoosies, what was it? Oh, yeah. So we were sitting around one Saturday night listening to the radio, as people in radio did in those days. This is back in the 80s. And this song came on. I remember hearing this by In Excess going, "This is a pretty good song." And that's about as significant as that. But I do remember, you know. You remember where you were when you hear certain, the first time? Okay, so that's really interesting, Phil. Thank you. You're welcome. What other in-the-business romances has Phil had? Well, no, I would never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever. I think when I was with Denise, I think it was pretty well known. But not out in the public, but in the business, in town. People knew we lived together. Whoever gave a shit. In fact, I happen to say this to... I mentioned this to on Twitter to Ben Tench, who was the keyboard player of the Heartbreakers. I guess he's, well, God rest Tom Petty's soul. I guess it's no more band, but I don't know. But I said, I saw you at Irvine Amphitheater, and we talked a little bit. He had a lot of memories about that. Good ones, and they were backing Bob Dylan that night. But anyway, the MC of that show for KMET, was it a KMET show? Was Denise Westwood, was Denise. I remember I was watching her. We had pretty good seats. It was Irvine. Were we sitting on a hillside? Was it festival seating? I forget, but I think we had seats. It was outdoors. It's like, I don't know a lot about Irvine Amphitheater. Did they ever, did they ever put a ceiling on it like they did the one at Universal? But anyway, make a long story short, I saw Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the one and only time at Irvine with Bob Dylan, and she emceed the show. This little brunette, and man, she was full of energy that night. I'll tell you, She got the crowd into it and all the shit you're supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? When you are promoting, emceeing that shit. It ain't shit. It's, it's great, but the MC thing's kind of shit. But anyway, that, and then, God, now I'm thinking back because... I saw Elton John. One of the greatest shows I ever saw was an Elton John show. Now, I say that because I'm not a stone Elton John fan. Yeah, I liked a lot of his songs, great songs, no question. But to see the cat in concert, I'd pass most of the time. But a friend of mine had tickets, so we went. And this was back when Irvine hadn't roofed it over. It was open air. It's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. I'm telling you, I was blown away. And he did two encores. It was great. It was back in 80, 81, something like that. I saw him again in Miami. And I saw him on that Billy Joel Elton John tour. Remember that? When the two of them saw that one. And it was good. It was damn good. It was not as good as that solo show, though. Because Billy Joel is another cat who, yeah, okay, there's a lot of songs he does I really like, but I wouldn't buy tickets to go see him. And that's nothing. Obviously, it's more of a comment on my taste than it is on his talent. He's an amazingly talented guy, but just wasn't. Wouldn't be an artist that I wanted to, that I thirsted to go see. But we saw him that night. Very good show. And they, they did each other's songs and that kind of shit. And I saw another band. Well, that's the funniest thing. When I was at WIOD in Miami, I saw a lot of shows because we had, the station had luxury box for the Dolphins, but you also got the same box year round for all the events. And I think it was a situation where someone said, hey, Phil, a bunch of us are going to the Rolling Stones show. Do you want to go? I think it was something as simple as that. I go, yeah, so I saw the Stones there. Look, don't ask me about, I think I know music. Live performance, I'm too picky, man, because if I see somebody live, they better fucking blow the goddamn roof off the place. I mean it. And the Stones didn't do that for me. In fact, they never did. And I'm a Rolling Stone fan from way the fuck back. Way the fuck back, man. All the way to the beginning, Rolling Stone fan. But anyway, you know how it is. We all have our opinion. I got into a big, long argument with people on Facebook about 5 years ago. And I made the gigantic mistake of saying, which I still believe, but I'm not going to argue with people, that Ginger Baker was a better drummer than John Bonham. Well, my God. You would have thought I'd said that Jesus Christ was the devil himself, man. What? John, Now, I'm sorry. I happen to know what I'm talking about. And I the reason why I do is because I've not only just listened to a lot of fucking rock and roll, I've listened to a lot of jazz. And I've listened to some of the greatest drummers in the world. And I've seen some of the greatest drummers in the world when I've gone to see jazz. I mean, you name it, man. I saw Philly Joe Jones. I've seen them all, man. And I'm not going to argue with people. I'm not going to get into a big long thing. But, I can hear when a drummer has great technique and when a drummer doesn't. I can hear when a drummer is, able to fucking hold the beat. And I can hear when a drummer can improvise. I can hear when a drummer feels it, And Ginger Baker's just a better drummer than John Bonham. John Bonham is a monster with technique and, knowing where he is in a song and all that great shit. But anyway, so I know that people are always going to say, try to argue with me about this shit. I just, it's like today somebody says to me, I said, World War I essentially was about the unequal distribution of wealth. And it was. Yes, I understand all about fucking empire. I understand empire versus minority versus a class. I understand class. I understand the crumbling, Empire of Russia and Austro-Hungary and the emerging democracies. I understand all that bullshit. I understand I could go and talk with anybody about the reasons why the goddamn fucking First World War started. But essentially, what the First World War was about, and you might say, well, all wars are about this, Phil. No, they're not. No. The World War II wasn't about this. World War II was about Germany continuing to try to impose its fucking will through the personage of Adolf Hitler on the rest of the world because they were asshurt over the fact that their fucking empire went south under the Kaiser. But anyway, World War I was about, first of all, minority rights. Yes. The Balkan states. All of these emerging nationalist sentiments under the umbrella of the Austro-Hungarian Empire was bound to bust that thing apart. The whole war was started because a Serbian killed the Archduke of Austro-Hungary, of the Austro-Hungary Empire, Austrian-Hungarian Empire. But there were a whole bunch of haves and have-nots, man. So, yeah. Yes, it was about the wealth was concentrated in a very few hands at the turn of the fucking century, especially in Europe. Nothing is more illustrative of that than the Austrian-Hungarian Empire's army on the march in World War I, and about 50% of that army is made up of ethnic minorities from all through the empire who don't give a fuck about Austria-Hungary or the continuation of the empire. Don't give a shit. They wanted to eat. They wanted to have a house. They wanted to have, their children. They wanted to have a life. And instead, they're pressed into service to fight for this crumbling empire. So when the war ended, revolution swept across Europe. You know the one about the Bolsheviks, but it was happening in the Balkan states. It almost happened in France and in Germany. Communists and the far right, what were they? What was the name of that corps? A far right paramilitary emerged in Germany after World War I, and they did battle with the communists in the streets for years. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was about that. People get too hung up. People say, well, you know, there are a number of reasons why. I know, we could jerk off all day long over all kinds of really groovy shit. You see, totalitarian state was giving, to the democratic impulses, and the workers were, yes, I give you all of that. But what is all of that about at the very fucking, at the very beginning, at the very, the absolute fulcrum? What is it about? It's about redistributing the wealth. Redistributing resources of these powerful states. Huh? Okay. Well, what do you mean, Phil? What do I mean? What are you talking about? What do I mean? You know exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, look at what happened. What happened? The fucking Kaiser, get out of here. Germany lost the war. It didn't mean they had to lose their monarchy. The Kaiser could have hung on. Fact is, the army had, they were sick of him. And that was the only thing that counted. I mean, the only voice that counted in Germany was the army. Other than the Kaisers, was the army. We don't back you anymore. Get your fucking ass out of here, okay? So that empire, that monarchy, over, done. Austria, Hungary, the same thing. Over, done. And these states that were established after World War I were not established because the Treaty of Versailles established them. They were already established, and the Treaty of Versailles said, okay, basically Yugoslavia came into being and said, this is how we're going to do it, see? Well, no, we got it from here. All right, fine, but then we give our blessing. So they just gave their blessing to all the shit that spontaneously happened anyway. And all the shit that spontaneously happened was the taking down of these monarchies, assertion in a variety of ways of the democratic, quote-unquote, rights of the people. And that, you know, expressed itself in a lot of different ways, mostly in the socialist state, which many people thought was a democratic way if you were a worker. But what was it all about at the end of the day? It was about taking all of that fucking money and passing it around. Did they? I don't know. Will we? I have no fucking idea. We're so far away from realizing that's our fucking problem here in this country, it's scary. Because that is our problem. Same goddamn problem. Jimmy, oh, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back? You're not going to be coming back, okay, Jimmy? What's this 5-hour energy drink, man? Does this shit work? Listen to me. Is this shit any good? See, when you do what I do for a living, when you're a funny man, when you're a goofball, when you're a clown, there's one thing that really pisses off all the fucking, the already seriously insecure people out there is that, wait a second, this guy's a clown. Where does he get off talking about history and politics? It's impossible. I will not accept that, because that means that not only do I make him laugh, or at least do I moderately amuse him, that means I know shit that he knows. I may even know more shit than he knows. I may even be smarter at it than him. And that you can't believe the number of, that's where all of that, you know, all that derision comes from. I don't know whether or not you know that, but you hear a lot of people say, why don't you stick to being funny? You know, I saw a guy commenting today about certain things and said that he was a furniture salesman. And I resisted the temptation to say, why don't you stick to selling furniture? Because it was a kind of a cheap shot. But nonetheless, that was exactly the kind of guy that makes that comment, you know. I sell furniture for a living, okay, but I know about, well, I do a radio show for a living, but I also know shit. No, you don't. You're just funny. You know, just be funny. Okay, well, no, you don't. Just sell furniture. What the fuck are you talking about, man? What the fuck are you talking about, boy? Huh? Go
God damn, boy. Them lovers are trying to kill us.
Hey, bitch, go on.
God damn, boy. Them lovers is trying to kill us.
Jimmy. Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. All right, now what is our music for As You Like to Hear Them? Why not? Wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Please tell me. No, I know. Aha. And now it's time for As You Like to Hear Them here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. And tonight we have Vladimir Putin. And do I call you Mr. President?
Yeah, you can call me Mr. President.
I don't know. You know, what if I just...
Yeah, that's fine. You can call me. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. Sure, that's fine.
And President Donald Trump, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Well...
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I don't know.
So, we're going to meet when you come to Washington, huh?
Yeah.
All right, President Trump, a question for you.
Okay. You know, just can I interrupt?
Go ahead.
You know, I usually don't take questions from the press, but they said your interview style was very interesting. Have you ever talked to this guy before, Vlad?
No, not really, but don't call me Vlad. I told you about that.
Oh, sorry.
Well, thanks. So my reputation goes before me.
What?
What does that mean?
I don't know if that's... Vladimir Putin is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Hi. Well, I'm really excited. Hello. I'm excited about this. This is interesting.
Vladimir Putin, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
And also Donald Trump. How are you, Mr. Trump?
I'm good. I'm good.
How are you, Donald?
Good.
And, you know...
Donald, how are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling ready. I came back to Washington, and I had a press conference and everything.
Oh, you had a press conference? Did you answer questions?
Well, no, because they were going to be mean to me.
Well, you know what? I told you about that. If they're going to be mean to you...
Can I interrupt you, Mr. Putin, or President Putin?
Why, certainly.
You know, there's a lot of talk that you have journalists killed.
That is not true, and I find it insulting that you'd even bring it up.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it.
Sorry, Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, you have called the press the enemies of the people. Do you feel responsible at all for the recent violence committed against journalists?
Yeah, I do. That's why I said it.
Yes, I do. That's why I, did what I did.
Mr. Putin?
Yeah, same thing here.
Would it be more interesting? I think it's better if they dealing with certain questions.
Hi. Well, because.
And, Donald Trump, Mr. Trump, how are you, sir?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Hey, how you doing, Donald?
Oh, hi, President Putin, I'm good.
So, President Putin, maybe that's an answer. Maybe that's a way to go. Maybe that's a direction we can go in. Okay. There are a great many. What do you think, Margaret?
I think that is a good direction to go in. Yes, I really do. Jimmy, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy Mac. When are you coming back? My arms are missing you.
I want to play a song. I want an oldie. I like this oldie. Where is it, man? I dig it.
Got your anger from a steeple.
Former diplomats furious it took Trump 3 days to decide not to turn former ambassador over. Consider whether to heed a request to send a former ambassador to Moscow for questioning will make current diplomats less willing to put themselves at risk while representing the U.S. Trump met with Putin Monday. The president reportedly pitched a deal. He'd give the U.S. access to 12 Russian intelligence officers accused of hacking the DNC before the 2016 in exchange for turning over U.S. ambassador to Russia Michael McFaul and William Browder, a U.S.-born British financier who successfully lobbied for sanctions against Putin allies. Putin had an incredible offer. What a fucking piece of shit. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. What it does is it causes people to work actively against you, Trump. It doesn't undermine our democracy. It undermines you. He publicly considered the proposition. Are you ready for that? Can you imagine if you were Browder or that other guy? And he's publicly considering? I'd go on the fucking lam, man. I would not hang around. Why don't we turn you over to the Russians, Trump? You know a lot of shit.
Wow.
Jesus H. Christ. Jimmy, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy, man. You better hurry, Ben. Russia announces new nuclear weapons tests after Trump-Putin summit.
What?
Yeah. I got one of my most favorite lines from movies is Bernadette Peters and Clint Eastwood in Pink Cadillac when she says, after a particularly difficult situation, she says, I'm getting so sick of men. And Eastwood says, well, that's something we have in common because I'm sick of men, too. Well, I happen to say that because I read a quote here from President Obama. Men have been getting on my nerves lately. Obama says, calling for more female leadership. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Jimmy. Yes, this is Margaret Gray, and the first thing I'd like to do is turn the goddamn thing off, will you, Phil? Hello, this is Margaret Gray. First thing I'd like to do is I would like to remind you that we are on all manner of public social media. PhilHendryShow.com is obviously our website, but we also have Twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. We have Twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. I am on Twitter, okay? I'll get to you in a minute, bud. I am on Twitter. I am on Twitter at twitter.com/MargaretGray, MarGaretGrey. Bud Dickman is on Twitter at twitter.com/TheBudDickman. Yes, General Shaw is on Twitter at twitter.com/Jen, G-E-N, Galen Shaw. So the general is abbreviated. Robert is not on Twitter. And many of the guests that you hear on our program do have Twitter accounts. Phil is on Facebook. His friend's account is simply facebook.com/PhilHendry. There is a fan account, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S. And it's to that that we'd like to refer to this evening in our very first bit featuring Stephen Bozell.
I'm Steve Baudet. I'm sorry. I'm Steve Baudet. And I feel kind of weird. I don't know what it is, but I feel weird.
Testing 1, 2. Steve Baudet. All right, where are we at, man? All right, here we go. Where are you, baby? God damn it. Here it is. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. All right, so then what I need is sound effect. Here we go. Jesus Christ. Steve Bozell, of all the characters we do, that motherfucker, I know him well because I've been around guys like that. Just talk about a bunch of fucking chicken shit crybaby motherfucker. Oh, my God. All right. Here we go, man. Here we go, man. Here we go. Testing 1, 2, 3, and begin. Hey, welcome, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we have on the line with us Stephen Bozell, is going to be talking to us. Steve is a part of a, I don't know if you would call it, he's a part of a promotion we're doing right now over on our Facebook fan page. What's wrong with this fucking thing, man? It's not responding fast enough, bitch. God damn it. That's not fucking cool, motherfucker, because, you know, it's got to do what it's got to do when it's got to do it. Ready? 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3. Hello, famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to start things off with